Welcome to the Dirt Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show, second hour today, specifically January the 20th. We've been talking about a lot of things. I'm going to get back to an article that I started going through in a minute, but this is the day after the big seminar that we had for the members, the Organic Club of America. It will be up on the website in the near future. As soon as I know about when it will be, I'll let you know. But if you're not a member, love for you to join. Then you can go in there and see the whole seminar, just like the people that were watching it yesterday and seeing it yesterday. But it'll be put on there in small pieces so you can go and look at whatever the subject matter is that interests you the most, because we covered an awful lot of things. Also wanted to welcome a new advertiser, BioSI, to the show. We have known these people for a long time. They make wonderfully high-quality products, beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus products, and you know how big a fan I am of those. They've been working primarily in the past across the country in agriculture, but have now put a beautiful line of retail-type packaging on the market and are getting more aggressive about helping homeowners and smaller people, smaller size operations, get these products. It's BioSI. Welcome aboard. BioSI.com. Well, it's not exactly the right website. I will pull it up for you and tell you exactly what it is. It's a little bit different than just as simple as what I started to say there. My tea. I didn't tell you about my tea this morning. It was a tea that was recommended by a listener last week. It's a green tea with a slice of ginger, fresh ginger, put in it. I didn't put honey in it this morning because I wanted to see how it tasted just by itself. I did it with the honey during the week, and it is a wonderful tasting tea, but it's also very good for you. So give that a try. One of the teas that was featured at the seminar yesterday was Amanda Love's tea, her soothing infusion tea, and it's great. It's especially good for those of you who can't have any caffeine at all. Hers are totally caffeine-free. Green tea does have a little caffeine, does have a little bit of a kick to it. Also, and this goes along with this column I'm reading to a degree, but the researcher that I mentioned in the first hour that has already documented a whole lot of the things that are better about grass-fed cattle operations versus feeding them corn in the feedlots and all that, Joe Robinson, her website is eatwild.com. And you can go there, and those of you, you know, whether you're on our side or a critic, you ought to go there and look at this stuff, because those people saying that there's no documentation, there's no research, there's no backup for some of these things, it's there. And that's one of the easiest places to find a whole lot of it. We've been talking about and referring to Joe for a long time. It's probably about time for us to get her back on the show. Hadn't had her here in quite a while. Eddie is in Southwest Fort Worth, and next up, hey, Eddie.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Doing well. What's up there?
Well, along about April or May, I'm going to sod in my front yard with Bermuda TIF 319, I guess you call it.
419.
And I was wondering, okay, and I was wondering what I should lay down. It's about 1,100 square feet. Just wondering what I should put down before I put the sod.
Well, even the hybrid Bermudas, which is what 419 is, a dwarf hybrid, they're not really very particular about the bed preparation that you do before you lay the stuff down. Really about the only things they care about is that the soil not be compacted as hard as a rock and not be in the shade. Those are the two things that would be a problem for you. Golf course people and landscape people use it all the time. Now, some people to get rid of the compaction problem. You can aerate and then rake out and smooth, or you can till it to a depth of a few inches and then rake it out smooth and nice and level, because, you know, any undulations really show up more in those dwarf hybrids. If you put down some organic fertilizer or compost or something like that, I really recommend that you put it down after you've laid the sod. Put the sod down first. You might make sure the soil is moist. And then as you lay the sod, one of the things that is really beneficial is to wet the back side of the sod, the soil side, before it's laid down. And then after you've got it all put in real nice and tight and solid sod is finished, you put a light application of organic fertilizer and or compost across the top of the soil, the sod. Okay. And that's it. You can put down lava sand, Texas green sand. You can prepare the bed with the same amendments that I recommend for bed preparation, you know, before you plant, and it'll help some. It's just a question about whether it's worth the time and energy to do it, because the Bermuda grasses are not really very particular. You can lay them down on concrete and water them and give them a little fertilizer every now and then, and they'll do pretty well.
Terrific. And then going forward, from year to year, how and what should I put on top of it?
Well, just my basic organic program, which is on the website on dirtdoctor.com. I recommend at least one application of some kind of dry organic fertilizer a year, and one to three. I don't think you need to do any more than that, really. And then I recommend spraying with the mixture that we call Garrett Juice Plus at least once a quarter, and what's even better, if time and budget allows, is once a month. And Garrett Juice Plus is compost tea or liquid humate, and then apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and liquid fish.
What do you think about the look of that TIF 419?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very fine textured, so any weeds in it will show up. But we've been involved in some organic corporate headquarters and big landscape projects where organic techniques have been used, and we've also been involved in some golf courses where organic techniques are used, and they grow 419 and even more dwarf forms of Bermuda than that. So no problem. You just have to be a little bit more careful about the weed situation.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much for your help.
I appreciate you calling.
Sure.
Let's see. Was there one other thing to catch up on? I don't remember if I mentioned this or not. A couple of the other groups that were there at the seminar that I don't think I mentioned the first time through. Garlic Mike was there talking about the garlic, and also Honey from the Texas Honeybee Guild. Brandon was there, and Susan, I think, some too. So we appreciate their involvement in our seminar as well. Well, let's talk to Marty real quick about the seminar, and then I'll get back to this column. Hey, Marty.
Good morning. I enjoyed the seminar very, very much yesterday. I watched online. I had some buffering problems, but that I'm sure was my problem more than anybody else's. I thought it was extremely well done.
Well,
I paid hundreds of dollars for much less. I was professionally orchestrated, very, very interested.
Well, thank you.
I enjoyed the overview, but I agree that now I think we all are ready for some specifics. But I thought it was great, and kudos to all of you who spent so much time in putting it together. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being a part of it, and I appreciate the report. We've just now started to get some in, and if there were any technical issues, we certainly want to know about them so we can get them fixed next time. When it's up on the website, hopefully it'll be as clean as a whistle, and you'll be able to go back, and if the buffering problem caused you to miss anything, you'll be able to see it again.
That will be great. And I'm sure it was my problem. I am far away from a tower, and I've sometimes I even have a problem listening to you on Saturdays and Sundays online. Progress will take care of that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I mentioned it early in the show. You may have missed it. We're about to be with a different company that's going the streaming, especially for the members when you're watching the video of me sitting around doing my thing here. It's going to be much higher quality, and there won't be ads thrown in on top of it and things like that.
Well, that will be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for calling. Let me get back to this, and then I'll get back to the phone lines. Go ahead and jump on here, and I'll get to you pretty quick. You won't have to hold too long. It's 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Well, you can hear the birds just flew in. I'll take a quick break, and then we'll get back to this article, and then back to your calls. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, website's dirtdoctor.com. To get our free newsletter, just send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. To join the club, it tells you how to do that there as well. One of the highest quality animal feed companies in the United States is up in Munster, Texas. It's Munster Natural Dog Food and Cat Food, and these are the best products on the market, in my opinion. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but I think you'll like the fact that there's no chemical preservatives, and the products contain the highest ingredients on the market. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending to people with pets for a long time. Some of the dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so you can choose whatever you want. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States. Everything about Munster Natural is high quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com. Let's get the products in your area so the dogs and cats there will be happier and healthier.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
One of the places you can go to buy crazy water is at the Crazy Water Store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase crazy water and many related products. Crazy water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, I'm going to read one more piece of this article, this column from the Wall Street Journal that's slamming organics. It's entitled "A Reality Check for Organic Food Dreamers." And then we'll get right back to the phones. That telephone number is 866-444-3478. His next point about the problem with organics is food choices. In this economy, as families grapple with utility bills, high school tuition costs, and meager 401k savings, the ability to select from a variety of affordable, healthy choices in the grocery store aisle can offer some relief. Not long ago, what we ate was entirely dependent on the farmer's skill, the weather, and other unpredictable variables. Pre-industrial yields were low and stagnant before the introduction of machines, fertilizers, plant and animal breeding, pesticides, and genetic engineering. Americans are no longer limited to a small variety of local and seasonal food unless that's what they choose. Modern agriculture is simply more productive, providing more variety at better prices. Well, that's true. The volume, we still have a volume problem in the organic arena. The supply and demand situation is the reason why the organic food costs more, quite a bit more in some cases, than the chemically grown stuff. But there's a big difference in the food value, like I've already said. When you factor in the cost, you've got to factor in the health ramifications. And, you know, if we can just get not only the organic growers, but some of these conventional people to move our direction some, which is happening, by the way, despite what this fellow writes, it's going to be better for everybody. His next point is stewardship. While early farmers didn't really think in terms of environmental stewardship, since the 1960s, farmers have taken it seriously. New technologies allow American farmers to do more to protect the land's natural resources. Water conservation techniques have been especially invaluable during the year's severe this year's severe droughts, thanks in large part to lessons learned during the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. Today's farmers also use new practices to improve the sustainability of the land and limit the use of herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers. For example, a soil testing process called grid sampling, introduced just some 20 years ago, significantly reduces the amount of chemicals used on farms. And the goal of much of the research into genetically engineered crops is higher yield with less water and chemical use. I'm going to stop before I read the last part. That's just untrue. The production is actually going down with the genetically modified stuff. The only thing that has helped a little bit is the no-till stuff of leaving organic matter on the soil, but that's got a big fatal flaw because most of the farmers that are doing that are also using Roundup, the glyphosate, which is destroying the biological activity of the soil and making the bioavailability of the nutrients not there to plants and then to animals and people. Alternative energy is also a growing trend, with some farmers reusing manure from livestock and turning it into biodiesel that can power farm equipment. Others are installing solar panels and wind turbines to produce power for their farm or community. Well, all that's fine, but you can do that whether it's an organic or a chemical approach. There's more to this column, and we'll get back to it in a little bit. But right now, we're going to go to Laurie in Dallas, who's been holding. Hi, Laurie.
Good morning, Howard. I'm calling about composting my kitty litter.
Uh-huh.
So do I need to do something special to get that stuff to break down?
Not really, but tell me what kind of kitty litter you're using.
Well, it says it's corn. I don't know, but
okay.
And a lot of times the cats, they go out in the yard too, but I notice when it's out in the yard, like the solid waste, it just never seems to break down.
Well, the products that are made of corn or paper or zeolite are really good to go in the compost and will break down pretty quickly. I was talking to somebody at the seminar yesterday. They do like we do at home, putting the kitchen scraps in a metal container. We use a stainless steel container first, and then it goes into a galvanized kind of small trash can outside to break down for a while before it goes in the compost. And she understood what black soldier flies are and the maggots that you get in that wet compost that are the black soldier fly larvae. And she said she was seeing them for a while and then they went away. And I told her that if any kind of pet waste, like we do, goes in with those kitchen scraps, it fires up the population of those black soldier flies like crazy. So that'd be one of the first things I'd say is mix it with some of kitchen scraps in your metal container before it goes into the outdoor compost pile. And then it'll break down really well and become a beneficial thing in short order.
Okay. And if I don't have a lot of volume, like it's just me and then I got two cats.
Uh-huh.
So do I need to do anything special with regard to the volume? I mean, does it matter how much volume
Well, if you'll
have?
Just save any food scraps that you have, are you doing that now, putting them in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Just keep using that. The other thing that will make it break down a lot faster is any green plant tissue you can put with it or any sugar, if you have any old cookies or cakes or any old sugar things at all, or buy some you know, the most inexpensive things like that you can and mix with the manure.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Just kicking up the biological activities while we're talking about it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. President Obama officially begins his second term in about 90 minutes. The president will be sworn in during a small ceremony at the White House. Earlier this morning, the president and vice president laid a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery to honor the nation's fallen soldiers. And the president at this hour is attending church services at Washington's historic Metropolitan AME Church. A top White House advisor says the stars seem aligned for Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform this year. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, David Plouffe says support for reform is strong among lawmakers, the business community, and the American people. Algerian bomb squads have been scouring the gas plant in the Sahara Desert where Islamist militants took dozens of foreign workers hostage. An Algerian official says they've discovered numerous more bodies. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you snore? Do you share a room with someone whose snoring keeps you up at night? Finally, for the first time ever, you can put a stop to snoring instantly with SnoreBreak. SnoreBreak is not a nose or mouthpiece. It's not a drug. And it's not a procedure. SnoreBreak is a patented liner that goes beneath the pillowcase and reduces snoring from the very first night. The secret is a fusion of natural extracts that dramatically improve breathing. SnoreBreak is comfortable, easy, and virtually undetectable. SnoreBreak works, and right now we're sending risk-free trials to listeners in your area. Just call 1-800-475-5481. Don't suffer one more sleepless night. Whether it's light snoring or heavy snoring, SnoreBreak will help put a stop to it the very first night. Hurry and take part in this limited-time, risk-free trial. Just call 1-800-475-5481. That's 1-800-475-5481. Call 1-800-475-5481.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Atlanta, New England hosts the NFL Conference Championships today. The top two seeds in the NFC play in the Georgia Dome when San Francisco plays at Atlanta. Falcons coach Mike Smith says 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick and receiver Michael Crabtree are a tough combination.
They're making the throws that you have to make to be successful in terms of the back shoulder throws and the timing routes. They've done a very nice job.
Kaepernick has a 98.7 passer rating going into the game while going 6-2 to the starter since taking over in Week 10. The second game has Baltimore at New England, a rematch of last year's AFC title game won by the Patriots. Ravens coach Jim Harbaugh was asked if his players are motivated by the possibility of getting retiring linebacker Ray Lewis back to the Super Bowl in his final NFL season.
Sure. You know, it's a big deal. Ray has been the franchise since 96. He's been the one stable element that's been here from the beginning. So it's pretty evident, pretty obvious, and we're all real proud of that, and we're all excited to be a part of that.
This is SRN Sports. Top 25 college basketball saw 6th-ranked Syracuse beat number 1 Louisville 70-68. Louisville guard Russ Smith with 25 points credits the visiting Orange for a good performance.
They got the job done, and that's what good teams do. You know, they get the job done, and you just got to give a lot of credit to Syracuse.
4th-ranked Kansas beat Texas 64-59. It was 7th-ranked Arizona 71, Arizona State 54. Number 13 Butler 64, 8th-ranked Gonzaga 63. 10th-ranked Florida 83, number 17 Missouri 52. In the NBA, Memphis overtime Chicago 85-82. Bulls forward Taj Gibson was asked if his club was tired after 3 overtime games in 4 days.
I don't think so. I just think they executed well. It just came out on the wheel, and it just moved the right plays and made smart ones, and it showed in the end of the game.
San Antonio beat Atlanta 98-93. It was the LA Clippers 94, Washington 87, Sacramento 97, Charlotte 93, Golden State 116, New Orleans 112, Minnesota 92, Houston 79, Utah 109, Cleveland 98, Milwaukee 110, Portland 104. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, back with you. We'll get right back to the phones, but I want to finish this column that was written in the Wall Street Journal by John R. Block, entitled A Reality Check for Organic Food Dreamers. And it's a column trying to say how great conventional stuff is versus organic. And it ends like this. Sustainability. The large-scale, sophisticated farming of today is simply better equipped to produce the abundance of food needed to sustain the world's growing population. When I was a child, we had two horses pulling a two-row corn planter. Today, our tractor pulls a 32-row planter. America's farmers grow 5 times as much corn as they did in 1930 on 20% less land. The yield per acre has increased 6-fold in the past 70 years to 154 bushels today from just 24 in 1931. Still, America's farmers and ranchers will need to produce about 75% more food per acre by 2020 in order to help feed more than 8 billion people the United Nations expects by 2030. To meet that goal, farmers and ranchers will use the latest, most effective technologies to produce food with less, more with less. I support organic and conventional farming, but organic farming cannot produce the food, the amount of food that is demanded in today's world. Indulging in a romanticized image of the farming industry stands in the way of progress. Do we want a smart, sophisticated approach to food supply that we can depend on for safety, health choices, environmental stewardship, and long-term sustainability? Or do we want to return to food shortages, high prices, and the days of two horses pulling a corn planter? Well, this guy is so off base, it's incredible. It's the line that's been thrown at us since I first started talking about organics. We have to feed the world. Well, feeding the world with unhealthy food that's grown with genetic modification that it really isn't producing any more for the amount of money that's being spent is not the way to go. Luckily, the industry is changing pretty fast, almost exponentially on our side, ramping up because more and more people are giving it a try and seeing how well it really does work. Whether you do a hardcore, total organic certified program, or what you do, or if you do something that more people are doing, is just using natural organic techniques and not really going the route of being certified organic, but just doing things that are a lot of people call biological farming, using things that kick up the biological activity of the farm, the land, rather than suppressing it, and thus increasing production. Increasing production, increasing the quality of the food across the board is what the organic approach does do. I don't know. I'll try to submit a letter to the Wall Street Journal, see if they'll print it, presenting our side. But it always gets people's attention when you talk about, you know, we've got to feed the world. The world's going to starve if we don't continue using the GMOs and the synthetic fertilizers and all that. And the truth is, the way to really feed the world with healthy food is to build biological activity in the soil, have healthy land, stop ruining it, and stop putting out things that hurt the quality of the food. The quantity can come along for the ride just as well. Back to the phones, it's Chris's turn in Gordon, Texas. Hello, Chris.
Good morning. I want to thank you for sharing all this wonderful organic stuff.
Yes,
I sodded some of that CHIST 419 Bermuda grass a couple of years ago and thought I had it really flat. But, of course, I've got a lot of undulations in it. What would you recommend for filling in those low spots?
One of the, there's a couple of ways you can go in leveling turf, even hybrid Bermuda grass. One of the techniques that I have always used myself is to do what's called core aeration. Hire a company or rent the machines, which you can do yourself. It's a little bit of trouble, but do core aeration of the area. And then while those cores are laying on top of the ground, you broadcast a little bit of compost to mix with those cores that are lying up there, and then you rake the cores around, raking them from the high spots into the low spots. So, in other words, you do a cutting and filling with the soil that's right there in that turf area. The other way to go is to come in to the low areas with some soil that you've brought in that comes as close as possible to matching the existing soil on your property. A lot of people will come in and do it with sand. They'll see golf course guys do it, and you know, sand is used for a whole lot of different reasons on golf courses, and sometimes it's used out in the fairways and all as well. When homeowners use sand, you put sand on top of a clay or some kind of different material, you create a problem with that layered effect. You see what I mean? It's just better to try to do the filling of low areas with soil that's as close to the the rest of the soil as possible.
Unfortunately, ours is heavy clay.
Yeah. Well, you can get the clay from the farm, from the sand and gravel people, but in your case, that cutting and filling thing is probably what I'd do if it were my place.
Wonderful.
Aerate and then rake the plugs around and let those plugs break them up as you're raking them around. And they fill in the low spots, and the spots that are high that have been aerated will tend to settle just a little bit, and you get a net effect of leveling the area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to Arlington, talk to Mary. Hey, Mary. Hello, Mary. Mary is dealing with something there. We'll get back to her in a minute. Tommy in Fort Worth. Hey, Tommy.
Morning, Howard.
How you doing?
I've got 22 fruit trees, and a squirrel shot every bit of my fruit last year.
I know what you mean. I've got a pomegranate that they got all my pomegranate pretty much this last year, too. Squirrels are the hardest of the pests to control. And there's nothing that's foolproof at all, Tommy. What kind of fruit were you growing? All kinds of different things?
I've got all kinds. I've got peaches, pears, nectarines, apricots, everything.
Okay. It's tough. I don't know a good repellent. The people that we've worked with the Scram Company, have tried some squirrel repellents. There's a few of them out there that are on the market. The garlic pepper tea, which I recommended to use as a general pest repellent, you know, early on in my career, sometimes works for squirrels and sometimes it doesn't. There are some commercial products out there that are the real hot products that are being sold to repel squirrels, and we've had mixed reports from gardeners about how well they work. The only other thing that you can try is to cover the trees, and it's a lot of trouble with these black nets that are designed to keep birds off of the trees, and it'll help with squirrels as well. The only problem with them is they'll tend to dig under the edge. You almost have to tuck them in all the way around. Floating row cover can be used, you know, the white, lightweight stuff in a way to keep them away to a degree as well. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you because I've had the same problems myself with squirrels.
Well, I went to Russell's, and they have a little bottle of fox urine.
Uh-huh.
But they said that every time that you spray the trees with it, but every time it rains, you have to do it again.
Yeah, any kind of the predator urine things – I got mixed emotions about them, about how they're harvested and all that, but I also have never had anybody tell me, Tommy, that they work really effectively long-term. So try some of those other things I mentioned and keep your fingers crossed. I'll tell you off the air, you know, how to handle them with instant lead poisoning, which is what some people call me and tell me all the time is the only way to go. But don't tell anybody that I said that.
Okay. I'll email you.
Okay. Thanks, Tommy. I'll talk to you later. Daryl the Snake Man, what's going on?
Greetings, Howard.
Got some great shots of your snakes wrapped around my wife and daughter's neck, especially the one with you and Logan is good.
Yeah, they were good sports about it. Neither one of them looked entirely ready for it, but both of them did great.
Yep.
So I wanted to say kudos about the whole event, especially to Doug. I thought it went off very, very well. Great building, too. A wonderful facility.
Yeah, it was great facilities. We'll try to do something with them again. I see your note, and I'll talk to you later about that. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, I just had a quick question off the air.
Okay, I'll keep you around and talk to you at the next break. Mark in Dallas, next up. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Howard. On the article from the New York Times, was it the Wall Street Journal?
Wall Street Journal, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the problem that I can't seem to get across, or it doesn't make any sense to me, okay? Is trying to grow organic food using food as a fertilizer. It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't see how we can do that and increase production if you're dependent on food products as fertilizer.
Well, there's all kind of great products out there. Some are food products, and some are recycled other things. And I don't agree with you that sugar shouldn't be used, Mark, and we don't, really don't need to debate that any further. To get an organic program going in the beginning, you have to buy some stuff to use to kick up the NPK and make the biological activity spike so you can start to get some of the natural fertility that comes from the microbes, bodies and waste being available to the plants. We can continue to argue about it, but it won't do really any good. I think that organic products that we recommend are very much appropriate to use. Richard in somewhere, what can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I'm the guy that comes out of Minnesota, hauls chickens down to Houston.
Uh-huh.
Number of things. Did you know that if you took sea solids from the ocean and took a 100-acre field and on 100 square feet anywhere on the field and turned sheep in there, they will find that spot and graze it right down to the bottom?
I think that sea salt is a wonderful organic fertilizer, and there's a lot of people that are using it. Most of the organic techniques and products and all the general ones that we recommend have cover a lot of that without having to buy the salt and put it out. But the Redmond people have a supplement that it's not exactly salt, but it's a soil amendment that is really good too. But salt itself, sea salt's a good fertilizer. Hang on if you had something else. I got to take a quick break. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
One of the highest quality animal feed companies in the United States is up in Munster, Texas. It's Munster Natural Dog Food and Cat Food. And these are the best products on the market, in my opinion. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but I think you'll like the fact that there's no chemical preservatives and the products contain the highest ingredients on the market. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending to people with pets for a long time. Some of the dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so you can choose whatever you want. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States. Everything about Munster Natural is high quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com. Let's get the products in your area so the dogs and cats there will be happier and healthier.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and there's an open line now at 866-444-3478. We were talking to Richard, who is a trucker. Where are you right now, Richard?
Just coming up on Melissa, exit 46 on 75 north of Dallas.
Oh, you're right here in the area. Okay.
I'm going to tell you how it is. There's an organic farmer that we do business with back home for 8 years or so, and he was telling me this winter it took him 14 years to get his dirt changed to the soil that he wanted. The reason I was asking him about it was on the way to his farm, I noticed they were tiling. And in an area that I know is sandy. And I asked him, I said, why would they tile sandy soil? He said, well, they broke the dirt, Richard. And I had to ask him, what does that mean?
Broke the dirt, huh?
That's the way he described it. He said, you watch around here in the spring or after a heavy rain. He said, people got water standing in their fields, but I don't. And then come the dry season. We had a pretty bad drought up home this year.
Yeah.
They're hurting for moisture, and his crops do well. What he means by breaking the dirt is that they pour so much chemicals on it that the soil doesn't act like dirt's supposed to act like. It doesn't absorb the water. It doesn't release the water.
That's right. The structure, the tilth, is destroyed when you use the synthetic salt fertilizers. That's exactly right.
I'm going to tell you how brain dead the commercial farmers are anymore. He said to me, because I know a guy who lays tiles, and he's an organic farmer. And he was telling me, he said, when they go to the end of their tile and there's no water coming out, they called him up and started complaining and stuff. And do you know how they wanted him to fix it, Howard? They had him come in and retile.
You know, one of the things I showed in my presentation yesterday in the seminar was this very simple research project that my friend in Oregon, Dr. Michael Amaranthus, did in growing corn in two big totes. And in one tote, he uses synthetic fertilizers, you know, like is recommended in agriculture today. And in the other, he used an organic fertilizer and mycorrhizal fungus. And the big difference was not the growth was different. I mean, the organic corn was prettier and bigger and greener and everything. But the big story was the amount of water that came through. In the organic one, there was very little water that came through, just like you're saying. The synthetic approach destroys the soil so that all the nutrients and the contaminants and everything. That's why I was talking early in the show about the ditches. They're recommending, you know, these ditches with vegetation growing in them so that it will collect and try to dissipate a lot of that runoff that's right. Full of toxic stuff. The organic farm approach is to keep as much of that moisture and the minerals, the nutrients, enzymes, trace minerals right there in place, and it does.
Well, the interesting thing I noticed about that Wall Street Journal article is he's not exactly lying, but he sure isn't telling you the truth. We used to buy what they call those heavy chickens.
Uh-huh.
You know, they grow real fast.
Right.
And one day we had to wait before we picked up our order, and I stood and I watched them in the barn. I called the wife over, and I had her watch them, and I said, we're not doing this next year. There's something wrong with these chickens. Chickens are supposed to walk around, pick the ground, scratch and stuff.
That's right. They can't even hold themselves up.
They can't hold themselves up, Howard. They got the feeder set low so they can eat while they're squatting. Well,
right.
Here's what they don't tell you, in my opinion, when you grow all these fluff crops that you were talking about. And by the way, the University of Iowa turned out a report about this. Hybrid, and that's what these chickens were, I found out afterwards. Hybrid stuff grows better and it looks prettier, but it doesn't have any nutrition in it. A friend would come over, we would have supper, him and I would clean up on a 6-pound chicken between him and my wife and myself. When we started raising and butchering our own chicken, we couldn't complete a 4-pound chicken.
Right, right.
Extra because we were eating nutrients, therefore we weren't hungry all the time.
That's right.
That's the part they don't tell you to make, you know, they make it look like organics is bad, but they're not telling you the truth.
They're just producing a volume, and they're producing very poor quality and unhealthy plants, and they keep them alive with the pesticides. It's just a vicious cycle. Where do you live in Minnesota?
About 120 miles west, northwest of Minneapolis.
What's the temp up there now? Pretty cold?
You got to define cold, Howard. Cold doesn't happen until it gets below 20 below. We had a real nice winter last year. It only got down to 15 below.
I understand. That's why I was asking you. Yeah, we're playing golf this afternoon in short sleeve shirts. I hate to.
I was down here at Christmas time, and I walked up to a man, got off a motorcycle, and I walked over to him, and I said, you know, guys like you irritate me. And the man got off the machine, and he started taking his gloves off, and he was could go either way, you know. And I said, let me explain. And he said, please. I said, we ride motorcycles up home in Carhartts, coveralls, and thermal sweatshirts as long as we can. And I come down here, you are guys at Christmas time riding Harleys.
Yep.
In T-shirts and leather jackets. It ain't right.
That's right. Well, when it thaws up and you get your garden going again and in the spring and summer, send us some pictures and show me what you're up to.
All right, sir. Thank you, Howard.
Appreciate the call. Okay, Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We've got another hour of batting around ideas. I'm going to talk about the sugar issue and fertilizers a little bit more. Got a couple of stories to relate to you on that, and then we'll talk about any subject that you want to chat about. Those of you holding, we'll take a little break at the top of the hour here and then be back. If your radio station doesn't carry the third hour, listen online on dirtdoctor.com. If you want our newsletter, it's free and comes out weekly. It is easy to get. Just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. I'm going to talk about that last newsletter I sent out. It'd be good. I had a few questions about that and comments, and it was a fun one to do. Back in a minute.